Henry Show, brought to you by PetSmart, where you'll find smarter solutions for healthier, happier pets.
And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up is Dr. Jim Sandler on Howard Dean and the great things he's going to do. Dr. Sandler will be talking about Howard Dean and the passion, the extraordinary passion that he brings to his campaign. Also, we have with us Gloria Allred, who I met at a party on Saturday, and as you know, I've always thought her as to be a great, classy lady, a woman that I admire very much. Gloria, thank you for joining us. Well, there's an ambulance. You better go chase it. And other fun little sound effects that I'm going to mess with. Why? Because Bush is still talking, ain't he? Oh, no. He just got done. He's walking. He's shaking hands. He's smiling. I think it went good. I think it went pretty good for the Prez. But we're going to give everybody a chance to settle in, and coming up right after our first break here this hour, we'll have Dr. Jim Sandler to talk about, you know, the passion and all of that baloney that Howard Dean brings to the table. I guess we could do our football wrap here as good a time as any, and there isn't a whole lot to wrap. For instance, when I say wrap, I mean, you know, like wrap it up. Who did Carolina beat? I forget. A couple of real dull games. Dull ball games. Indianapolis got spanked. Carolina beat some other people. Oh, yeah, Philadelphia. What business you guys have playing in a championship football game? I got no clue. Carolina? I got big news for Carolina. You're not going to like to hear this, my fine listeners in North Carolina, wherever you are. Your team's going to get destroyed by New England. And I mean destroyed. And don't give me this Joe Namath guarantee to win with 18.5 points as the underdog. It ain't going to happen to you. And if Carolina didn't go into that football game at least a 10-point underdog, something's terribly, terribly wrong in the universe. I don't mean to badmouth them, but why not? They're from Carolina. I'm gonna be playing with that, if you'll pardon the expression, throughout the entire show. For instance, what does, I don't know, what's Kobe Bryant sound like having an orgasm? Stuff like that. We'll be doing it throughout our program. If you didn't hear the whole thing, here it is.
We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
That cat, you just heard the sound of a guy that's done, man. He sounds like a pro wrestler, for crying out loud. What was that, The Rock? Who was that guy? All I was waiting for him to say was, and I'm waiting for the commissioner to give me another shot. Howard Dean's done. And I don't mean to say he's done in that he lost Iowa, so therefore he's done, but he really showed himself in that Iowa caucus baloney, which is exactly what it is, by the way. But he proved that the Democratic Party ain't going to nominate a guy that's got a message that doesn't resonate with the mainstream of the Democratic Party or the American people. This cat's against the war in Iraq. The American people are not. I know it comes as a shock. I know it comes as a brutal surprise to hear that. American people are not against the war in Iraq. They want a successful prosecution of that war. They may disagree as to whether we're doing that, but they don't want to be pulling out of there. It ain't manly to pull out, right, Howard? Right. You can't be pulling out, man. You got to keep it in there, baby. Keep it in there until... And so we're there, and we're there until the getting is good, baby. And right now the getting ain't good, so we're there. By the way, Iraq really looks like a country you're ready to kind of turn it over to the people, right? They wanted to, like, drag Hussein out of his cell today and chop his head off. The Shiites want to kill everything in sight. The Iraqis are screaming about this and screaming about that. Yeah, exactly what we ought to do is hand the country over to the Iraqi people. What, are you against democracy, Phil? That's what Americans did. They took control of their country. Yeah, we won the Revolutionary War. The Iraqis lost this one, see? That's the difference. We won, they lost. We won, they lost. We win, we decide. They lose, we decide. See? Heads I win, tails you lose. Right? You got it. The Iraqi people are not going to take over the reins of their country until these nutballs they got walking down the street there called Shiite Muslims that want to cut off their hands, the lips, the penises of everybody that looks at them cross-eyed, until those guys are under control, until, you know, we get a handle on the so-called insurgency, which ain't no insurgency. It's a bunch of Syrians which I told you already, we're ready to spill that war over into Syria. You just say the word over there, Assad, man. We'll take the war to your country, too. How'd you like that? And you guys in Iran, too. See, here's the thing. People don't get this. People don't think this is cool. They think this is, like, un-American and really wrong. Why do we consider ourselves morally superior? Well, because we are. Go ahead, debate that with me. What are you telling me that we're not? What gives us the right to call the shots in a part of the world that puts women in bags? Because, frankly, we have a moral superiority to those people. Anybody that puts women in bags, chops off hands, blows away people in soccer stadiums, and all of the other things that they do in the Middle East, I would say that my country is morally superior to any of that. Therefore, and you know, you can do what you want in your own part of the world, but when it starts spilling over into mine, you know, as in 9/11, then I got something to say about that. If you don't like it, well, then you shouldn't have flown two airplanes into the freaking building up there. Oh, I get it. Yeah, there wasn't any linkage. Uh-huh. Yeah, there ain't no linkage, man. Like, there ain't no linkage between, there was no, absolutely no linkage whatsoever between the Black Panthers and the Black Students Union and the Ku Klux Klan and the White Aryan Resistance. No linkage at all. They just all happen to believe the same damn thing. But unless you can get the phone records and the memos going back and forth, you pea brains, and that weapons of mass destruction, whether you like it or not, whether you're happy with it or not, whether you think it's going to last or whether you think it's going to end, the facts are these. We're there to stay until such time as it is safe for us to withdraw. That's why Howard Dean ain't going to be nominated Democratic nominee for the presidency of the United States, because that cat is so far removed from that mainstream of thought that it's sad. And now we find that the guy is psycho. He belongs in a soft room. This is a guy, I wouldn't trust him, man. I wouldn't trust him with 9 feet of rope by himself in a padded room someplace. You give that guy his belt, he'll hang himself. He's nuts. And so's that guy Kerry's a phony baloney. Don't worry about Kerry. Let me tell you something about Kerry, man. Kerry, this is Kerry. I don't think we should be in Iraq, but as long as we're there, we're not doing it right. What? What? And that other guy, that Edwards kid. Yeah, I get it. He looks like John Kennedy. So what, man? So he's cute. Gephardt's a loser, and who's that leave? Lieberman, forget it. The Democrats aren't going to win in November. You want to know why? Because we decided that we were the anti-war party. Since when are Democrats anti-war? Huh? Since when are Democrats anti-war? I'd like to know that. We were anti-Vietnam War with good reason. So who says we got to be anti-Iraq War? Well, that's what we've always been. That's why no Democrat's going to get elected in 2004, because there's nothing but idiots running this party right now. And some of the most non-creative thinkers that I have ever encountered in my life. In fact, right now, I'd say Dean's the most creative thinker of all of them. I'd say that he's a breath of fresh air with that. And I do mean breath. All right, get rid of that thing. I don't want to play it ever again as long as I live. Coming up, Dr. Jim Sadler and his views on Howard Dean. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com, and our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're happy to have Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us, a Democratic Party activist, to talk at length about Howard Dean. We can talk a little later on about the president's speech, although I'm sure you have some ideas about it, Jim.
Oh, I've always am excited and delighted to talk about President Bush, because he never fails to... I don't think he ever fails to confuse people.
All right, but let's get back to Howard Dean today and his... People say that Dean looked a little goofy losing the Iowa caucus. yelling and screaming and like that. What is your read?
Well, Phil, Howard Dean is a passionate, a very passionate individual. People, I think, who don't have that kind of passion don't understand Governor Dean. I was very proud of him today. It is that passion and energy that's typical of the Democratic Party. And let me tell you a little story. I'm a longtime Democrat. 2 years ago, at the age of 49, I married my third wife, who is 25 years younger than me. I'm 51 now. My wife is 26. She loves me because I think I'm typical of a lot of Democrats. I have a great passion. I'm energetic. I care about life and the issues. I'm sure you can read between the lines in a lot of this. The fact that's the same kind of passion that you heard Howard Dean have last night. And I think Dean shows that Democrats are energetic, and I don't think Republicans have that. I have a wife who's 25 years younger than me.
All right, well, you mentioned that from the standpoint...
Here's what I mean, Phil.
I mean, what about the comments that maybe Governor Dean was a little hysterical, out of control?
Well, that's what people, I think, are frightened of. True passion scares these Republicans. I'm 51. I work out with free weights 3 times a week. I competed last weekend in my fourth 10K this year. I have a wife who is 25 years younger than me, and I'm a Democrat, and I'm a Howard Dean supporter. All of that makes sense. Younger wife, free weights, 10K, and Howard Dean. And
Are you saying you think Dean is now scaring Republicans? Because a lot of jokes could be made that Howard Dean is scaring Republicans. He's scaring Democrats. He's acting crazy.
No, not at all. No, not crazy like a fox. But I think it has to be said, and I'm glad you brought it up, Phil, that the Republicans saw the power of Howard Dean last night in the raw passion. And I think today they're scurrying for strategy. One of the things that Governor Dean's passion creates is a problem now for the president. How do you mask, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, how do you mask President Bush's fear of Howard Dean?
Do you really think President Bush is afraid of Howard Dean?
I think Republicans are afraid of Democrats. I'll tell you a story. My wife is 26 years old.
You mentioned that she's a lot younger.
No, but I didn't make this point. She's 26 years old. I have a full head of hair. And I'll tell you something. You know, Phil, that I'm very well off financially.
Indeed.
And yet that's not why she's with me. She's with me because I am a man of great energy and passion. And true passion comes from a very guttural place, a place that most Republicans are afraid to allow themselves to go. Howard Dean is not afraid to go there. I'm not afraid to go there. And these are the differences.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler, a Democratic Party analyst, on Howard Dean and whether he has still a chance. There's also, he looked a little, people have been commenting on his kind of anger after losing the Iowa caucus. But you're saying that his passion and energy appeal to, it sounds to me like you're saying it appeals to women.
Well, I think it appeals to women. It appeals to anybody who likes people with life. And I think it scares Republicans because, again, you're talking to a man who's 51 with a full head of hair and a wife. And I tell you, she's good looking, too, which I can tell you the Vanity Fair to look in. Because she did an ad for one of the Calvin Klein perfumes.
All right, later on, okay?
All right, but still.
Let me give our phone number out here, Jim.
Sure, Phil.
And then we can continue. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler on Howard Dean, who had a very emotional meeting with his supporters following his loss in the Iowa caucuses, that some people thought was a little out of control, but you say it is a passionate and very typical of Democrats. I want to ask you a question. You say you're very financially well off.
That's absolutely right. Okay.
And you say your wife is with you not because of your money.
She's not. She married me because I have great passion and energy. And also, let me just sort of dispose of another one of your questions. She has told me that I am the most passionate man she's ever met. And let's read between the lines on that one. That means that I am and I'm not saying I'm better than any other man, but for my wife, I'm a great lover. And as a great lover, I certainly have a sensitivity, and I think that women understand that. And that's why the Democratic Party has always been a party of, you know, people who have that kind of energy. So Howard Dean didn't hurt himself at all, Phil.
All right. Howard Dean didn't hurt himself with who?
With any of the voters.
Well, you say that he scares Republicans.
Well, he does scare Republicans because there's a threat there. There is a threat of almost a sexual, and I don't want to say, but the male Republican voter may see Dean in a kind of a, you know, sort of prehistoric manner. That this guy can really motivate. If a man can't show the passion like I do, and like Howard Dean's, you're never really going to please a woman. I think the female voter, that's what I'm trying to say. The female voter is pivotal. And Howard Dean shows that he, and I guess what I'm saying is I'm very happy and fulfilled, and I support Howard Dean.
All right, you're saying people who don't vote for Dean are what? Are they...
Well, I would say people who don't vote for him are frightened of the energy and don't have the... I mean, again, I lift three times a week. I swim twice a day. I hike. I have a wife who is 25 years younger than me and who's completely sexually satisfied. And who do I want to vote for?
You're voting for Howard Dean.
I'm voting for Howard Dean. I think a vote for anyone else, and you almost send a message to the world that you are impotent. I mean, not literally, but you vote for Bush, you might as well be saying, I am dysfunctional. I can't please a woman. That's what we heard this morning with Howard Dean. Again, I want to recap. A full head of hair. I've got a wife. And can I say, am I allowed to say a piece of you-know-what?
Well, in what way?
In describing my wife, and I mean it with great respect.
Go ahead.
My wife is a piece of ass. And I say that the way the kids say it, in a very respectful way, and she's beautiful. 26. And I have a full head of hair. I mean, I'm 51. She's 26. She has a full head of hair, for that matter. And additionally, I lift free weights in my living room three times a week. Put it all together, and what have you got? You've got a Democrat who votes for Howard Dean. And I think the Republicans are afraid of that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. That is Dr. Jim Sadler. Excuse me. Let me just say this. That cleared it out. Dr. Jim Sadler talking, and Dr. Sadler is a Democratic Party analyst, about Howard Dean's appeal. And it is the appeal of a man with a lot of energy and young, energetic, sexual men, I guess, are interested in voting for Howard Dean, as are women. His, you know, if you're against Howard Dean, you're sending a message of impotence is a little maybe over the top. But let's talk about it. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
With Dr. Jim Sadler talking about Howard Dean, we'll get to some phone calls. First, I want you to listen to Howard Dean this morning, or actually last night after losing the Iowa caucus. All right.
Well, Phil, it won't be the first time that I've heard it. I've heard it over and over again, and I don't see anything wrong with what he did.
All right, but let's just listen to him, okay?
We're going to California and Texas and New York, and we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan, and then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House! Yeah!
Okay, your comment.
My comment is that was a man of great passion and energy, a man who I think represents those of us who have great energy, sexual drive, yes. I mention sexual drive in my case only because I've got a wife that's much, much younger. And believe me, there are guys 20 years younger than me that would love to have what I got. But, finders keepers, losers weepers is what we say. And I can be in a mall or restaurant, and I can see the men that aren't doing it for their wives. And so Howard Dean, for me, makes it all worthwhile.
All right, 1-800-449-86.
I hope I made myself clear.
All right, well, let's get some calls. 1-800-449-8686. It's Democrat Dr. Jim Sadler on how Howard Dean is the choice for men who are energetic and full of passion. Here is Aiden. Aiden, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to our show. You're on with Dr. Jim Sadler.
Thanks. I just wanted to know, are you on crack, dude? Because no one cares if your wife is 25 or if you live through age.
Wait,
I'm
51.
It has nothing to do with sexual drive.
I'm 51.
I don't care. Well, no, that has nothing to do with being a Democrat or Howard Dean. I mean, you sound like a guy who's really insecure because you keep mentioning that, and that has nothing to do with the topic.
It does, Aiden, in this respect. Howard Dean showed a great deal of passion last night.
I understand that, but passion has nothing to do with sexual drive or your wife being 25.
Well, I think it's significant that I have a full head of hair.
Having a full head of hair has nothing to do with you being a Democrat.
Well, you say it has nothing to do. I'd like you to tell me why. Because I've explained why it does. Tell me why it doesn't.
Because you having a full head of hair and being passionate does not make you a Democrat. My father has a full head of hair and is passionate, and he's a Republican.
Well, I don't know how you could possibly know what your father's passion is.
How can I not know what my father's passion is if I've lived with him my entire life?
Excuse me, you know about his sexual passion? Please.
His sexual passion has nothing to do with him being a Republican.
I think, you know, you're getting into areas that I don't think I'd want to talk about.
Well,
she's not talking about yourself.
That has nothing to do with being a Republican or a Democrat or your views about the government.
Well, I think that it has been said, Aiden, that Democrats are more hip and with it, and Republicans are more lame. I'm going to put it in terms that perhaps a young person like yourself can understand.
Okay, how can you think that has nothing to do with it? I mean, hip and lame, you don't even know what those words mean.
Well,
that has nothing to do with what party you belong to.
How many Republicans, and I'm going to say that, and I don't mean to disrespect you, but I'm going to say it. How many Republicans are 51 with a piece of ass for a wife, excuse me for saying that, and lift and swim? Well, I swim every day, and
I think this young lady is saying, what's that got to do with the Howard Dean candidacy?
If you saw me, you'd know what I mean, Aiden.
The way you look has nothing to do with the government or being a Democrat
How does that have anything to do with Howard Dean? I know that Howard Dean showed a great deal of passion last night as he, he conceded the Iowa caucuses. But you and your 26-year-old wife and your build and your full head of hair, how?
Phil, I've tried to explain. How many Republicans do you see who are going, acting and screaming the way Howard Dean? None. I think that's frightening for Republicans. That's what I mean.
Well, just because Republicans don't make a fool of themselves on national television doesn't mean that they're not passionate.
You missed the point entirely. Boy, that's what I mean by lame. If you didn't see how hip that was, what he did.
All right, Aiden.
You didn't think it was hip. Listen to this. That's a man who really takes a bite out of life.
That's a man who's insane.
Well, then you're afraid of the passionate man.
All right. Aiden, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Sadler, are you're not kidding me when you say that because Howard Dean screams like a lunatic, you think he's a really passionate guy?
Well, look, if this is a guy, what are you going to write him off because he showed what no other candidate has been able to show, real energy? And why do I keep bringing up my wife, who's, yeah, okay, I said it, she's a piece of tail. Why? Because, man, I go for it. I go for it. I could have settled for a 45-year-old divorced woman with kids in college and mental problems like you wouldn't believe. But I'm like Howard Dean. I went for it. And I got myself a 25-year-old piece of ass, and I'm sorry if...
Yeah, the term is beginning to wear a little thin.
Well, I'm sorry if she's in Vanity Fair, in the Calvin Klein commercial, and everything. Because of the energy.
All right, let's go over here to Mickey. Mickey, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, I think you're on crack too, buddy. And just, you don't represent all the Democrats for one.
Are you a Democrat?
Am I?
Yes, sir.
No, that's like on a job application, deciding what race you are. No, I sit there and I listen to the people and make my opinions based on what their views and opinions are.
Of course.
Exactly. So you can't represent all the Democrats, bud.
I'm a Democratic Party analyst. What that means is I analyze why people, you know, like a certain candidate, and they like Howard Dean because, for instance, in my case, I lift weights and this sort of thing.
Hey, we already heard your job description on how old you are, your wife, and to call her a piece of ass. You know, that's not showing respect towards your wife.
I don't think
it is
either.
Who cares if, exactly? You're not showing her any respect at all. And I'm sure she's not going to find that very nice of you saying that towards her.
Well, sir, do you think your wife's a piece of ass?
No, I don't.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't let her hear you say that. Women want to be viewed that way. And last night, there were women who saw Howard Dean speak, and they wept quietly to themselves because their husbands don't have that kind of passion. But I do. I run 3 10Ks.
Okay, we got all of your athletic credentials, Dr. Sadler.
I want to hear about
your wife. Watch the language.
I just want to hear you,
Mickey,
analyze the Democratic Party.
Mickey,
nobody
watch your
wants language. To hear your life history, buddy.
Mickey, watch your language, okay? This is Phil.
Yeah, you said the S word. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm sorry,
right,
buddy.
Let the man say, go ahead, Dr. Sadler, what is it that...
I've analyzed Governor Dean. Governor Dean is a man who believes, number one, Bush is full of it. We know that. Number two, we got to get health care. And number three, see, you don't want me to talk about how my wife's a piece of ass, so what am I supposed to do? Well, what are you laughing about? I can see you're trying to be passionate.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you this. You can't elect one person that's gonna solve all the problems. They can't do it, right?
Well, it depends. It depends.
There's no way you can solve everybody's problems.
A good president would.
Oh, no,
he
no,
can't
no.
do it.
No, well, Howard Dean can because of this kind of passion. There you go.
You're a Democratic analyst. You're not a Howard Dean analyst.
Yes. All right, Mickey, thank you. I'm going to take a break. I thank you for your call. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're going to be back here with Dr. Jim Sadler on Howard Dean and why his little display... passionate display, if you will, is not going to hurt him, and point of fact is going to help him and shows the real Howard Dean. Dr. Sadler believes, but he keeps talking about how he's got a 26-year-old, quote, piece of ass for a wife, and how he lifts 3 times a week. Man, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, the epitome of radio.
We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler, and we're talking about the... And you got some music going?
Phil, I wanted to point out to your listeners, and I have a... Turn it down. My wife is in the background right now watching pornographic... You can hear the... Let me just move the phone. She's watching, waiting for me to get off the phone because of the pen. And she's 26, waiting for me. I'm 51. And I vote for Howard Dean. So put it all together. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand what... Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. That Jamie Gillis? That's an old tape, too. She's looking at a lot of old men.
Are you trying to tell me because your wife watches porn that that is the reason why... Howard Dean is a great vote?
I'm saying, Phil, and I'm trying to make this point over and over again, I do the yoga sun salutation every morning. I lift passionate men vote for Howard Dean.
Let me go over here to, I think it's Ree. Ree, go ahead.
Hey.
Hi, Ree.
How you doing?
Fine, ma'am.
I really have some issues with what the doctor is saying tonight, or the way he's presenting himself. I am a Democrat.
Yes, ma'am.
I really take offense at anyone referring to any woman as a piece of ass.
Well, and I only said that to relate to other men, but I didn't, you know, I don't want to offend any women.
You did offend women. That's absolutely offensive.
My wife.
I work in a group home with teenage boys. And this is what we try to reiterate every single day. Treat women with respect.
Of course.
And to refer to someone, whether it's your wife or your sister or anyone else, as a piece of ass is so offensive.
Yeah, and in a discussion of Howard Dean's candidacy, I don't see the relevance.
The relevance, Phil...
There is no relevance.
The relevance, Phil, was only in that... I got a 26-year-old wife. Okay?
Yes, you have said that many times.
All right. You know what she's doing right now?
I have no idea.
I'll give you a guess. Here, listen.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
She's
music.
Playing... She's watching a porn movie.
Okay.
Now, what that says, and I don't bring that up to be gratuitous, I say she's hot for me, and I'm 51, and I'm voting for Howard Dean.
Okay, I just don't see the relevance. I don't see any connection to any political thing by you saying I have a full head of hair, I work out, and I have a 26-year-old wife who's a piece of ass.
Yes, ma'am.
I think if you would focus...
Well, I better not say, because you think I'm sexist.
Yeah, let's keep it off...
I mean, anyone who uses that terminology is obviously has sexist issues going on.
Well, I don't think that's true. I have a healthy life. I got a wife right now who's 26 with her heels hooked into the headboard. And you're telling me...
Would you please remember that you're speaking to a lady?
I'm sorry?
Would you remember, sir, that you're speaking to a lady?
Forgive me.
Right now you are speaking to a lady.
Forgive me.
Have your wife go into another room where the porn music is.
And once again, I want you to understand that I am a Democrat, that I do endorse Howard Dean. I just don't see how any of this is any relevance to a political situation.
Well, in my life as an analyst for the Democratic Party, I try to look at things in a more organic way. Last night, Howard Dean, a conceded defeat in the Iowa caucus...
Mm-hmm.
By expressing himself in a very passionate, in a forceful way, and
mm-hmm.
today, how do you think they're spinning it? They're saying he's nuts. They're saying he's cuckoo.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
I'm trying to say,
no, he's not nuts. This is exactly why we love him,
mm-hmm.
and I put it into the context of my own life.
Okay, I have.
See what I'm saying?
I have no problem.
I got a wife over here. She's watching an adult film, waiting for me to get off the phone.
Okay, and that's fine. That's your private life. It just has nothing to do with a political realm.
All right, listen, Ree, very well said. Thank you for your call. Thank you for joining us here on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800. Are you in the den with her?
I can't hear you. What?
Can you get out of that room?
Yeah, hold on, Bill. Close the door. Honey, I'm going to close the slider. No, you don't. What a slut. I mean, I don't mean a slut.
Well, that's exactly why people are calling in.
No, I didn't mean to say that. I said she's free. She's liberated is all I mean.
That's why people are calling in.
You heard that, didn't you?
Get out of that room, please, and let's continue the conversation. 1-800-449-8686. Lori, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to comment on the only intelligent thing this gentleman had to say was that the women's vote is pivotal, and women vote on issues, not what passion or what he means to say is what somebody does in the bedroom. I personally could care less. I vote on the issues. I'm independent, and I really don't care what somebody's doing in the bedroom, what they're watching, or what their passion is. I want to know what the issues are. And that's how I vote.
Well, I agree with that, if I may say that, Lori. However, this morning we were presented with a problem. We had the mainstream press characterizing Governor Dean as mentally deranged. And I had to say, well, I find that to be wrong. I think he's a passionate man. And look at my life. My life's fantastic.
But you've got to understand, we don't care about you and your wife. And when you keep talking like this, I didn't think it was a big deal about Howard Dean being passionate. You are changing my mind. If people like you are the ones that are voting for him, I don't want any part of it.
And I would ask you again, Dr. Sadler, that I'm hearing that pornography, whatever that...
I'm sorry, turn it down.
Yeah, have a little respect.
Ma'am, look, you sound like... Are you single?
No, I'm not.
Are you interested in a club for Democrats that also entails that we're all Democratic Party members, and by the way, 90% of us are Howard Dean supporters, and we do. I guess she's going to be upset with us.
Well, I don't know what it is you're talking about.
No, I'm not going to be upset.
We swing.
Oh,
are you interested in that at all?
I don't need that in my life. I'm secure enough in my marriage that I don't need that type of thing.
Turn the music down, please.
You have to turn it down, baby.
I also have a beautiful daughter that I want to raise to be an upstanding citizen without having...
Use the towel. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry. This man is...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Lori.
I have never called a radio show
no,
before.
No, you can bring...
He has fun. He is the reason that I wouldn't even...
You can bring your daughter if you
Howard Dean.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's worst nightmare.
The Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Nissan and the Nissan dealer.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
President Bush has concluded his State of the Union address. He asked Americans to quit sniveling and whining and to shut up. In another part of his speech, he said, why don't you just get off your pity pot? And he also said, you mothers and wives of soldiers in Iraq, shut up. So thank you very much, Mr. President. It was a great speech. He also said, you Canadians, you want to come down here, you better wait for us to check the soup, because there might be mad cow meat in it. I thought Janice was going to stick a shank deep in my thorax today. She told me about some friends of her parents that are coming down to Indio for the annual Coachella Valley Music Festival. They're all coming down to see, I think there's an Echo and the Bunnymen reunion. Anyway, so they're coming down from Kanukada. And, you know, they got some cows up there that ain't smelling too good these days. So the Border Patrol in Alberta, is it, Janice? Coming through Alberta, they said, let's check your meat. And so the guy unzips and they, you know, guess I'm not talking about that. And they looked and they wouldn't let him bring their soup across. They wouldn't let him bring their soup in from Alberta. And I said to Janice, well, be thankful they got in at all. And she's looking at me like, well, we should be allowed in here. We're, you know, it's America. Isn't everybody allowed? I said, nah, but not anymore. No, we're double-checking some of you people, especially you guys from Alberta with your meat hanging out, with your mad cow hanging out. we are definitely taking another look at you guys. She was a big bone girl from southern Alberta, if you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, President Bush today, this evening asked Americans to try to do something that hasn't been done in generations, and that to continue to rise to meet great responsibilities both abroad and here at home. We must increase our security at home, etc. and so forth. After launching the war on terror and laying the groundwork for the war in Iraq, in the last two State of the Union addresses, President Bush asked Americans to stay the course. Our economy continues its comeback, and the war begins to show peace dividends. And I am hopeful, I personally believe the American people are ready to do that. The president has asked that we continue to support what has been historically a bold move, a preemptive strike at an enemy that is different from any other enemy that we've ever fought. Every other enemy we ever fought was a state-sponsored, organized, uniformed under a the flag of an empire or a nation kind of an enemy. And this is a disparate, furtive enemy. It's kind of like fighting the mob. It's kind of like fighting the mafia, if you will. There's no uniforms, and there's no insignia of rank. There's no truce flag. There are no Geneva Conventions being observed on the other side. That's for bloody sure. There's no truce for Christmas. There's no timeout for Ramadan. There's no national border being defended on the other side. There's simply a national border that's trying to be erased. The terrorists themselves have no home other than this kind of vague allegiance to Islam, their interpretation of it, which has something to do with like the 14th century. This is an enemy that is not, it's typical of other enemies that we fought in that it is totalitarian, it is fascistic, it is anti-Semitic. Its battle cry is really one of hate, nothing more. There's nothing, I don't think these guys have ever put forward, whether it's Al-Qaeda, Hamas, or any other organization that has butchered up innocent human beings purposefully as targets. I don't think they've ever put forward any philosophy or any platform on how they would construct a state. What kind of a country would they have? In other words, what kind of country would Al-Qaeda, if in a perfect world, what kind of a country would Al-Qaeda create? Once they take over Saudi Arabia, which is their current plan, what would that be like? What's it going to be? Wahhabism? Is that the name of this jive-ass religion that they practice? Wahhabism, huh? The hell is Wahhab? Sounds like either a freaking dance or it's some kind of a technopop band. These guys, they ain't got a clue. Tonight, again, the Phil Henry Show would like to thank the men and women in uniform in Iraq. Thank you for protecting Sean Penn's ass as he runs around there and digs up all kinds of crap. Thank you for protecting the journalists and the reporters who are there only to get the story that will demoralize you and depress your relatives at home. Thank you for, while you're protecting your other, the other men and women in your unit, for also trying to protect the people who are over there, the diplomats that are going over for a look-see so that they can come home and lie and demoralize the American people and also put a bad spin on the very great and brave work that you're doing. Thank you for protecting them. Also, please protect Ma and Pa and Mommy and Daddy. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, pass me the potatoes. What the hell am I doing? Anyway, so the State of the Union was like every other State of the Union. A whole bunch of stuff happened, and the president's talking about it. He repeated that U.S. forces and allies are hunting down terrorists wherever they may hide, and that after the chaos and carnage of September the 11th, it is not enough to serve our enemies with legal papers. Damn freaking straight. And this is a war that's being fought. I remember President Bush said it right after 9/11. He says, people will forget, but I'm not gonna. People are going to get tired of it, but I won't. People will grow weary of it, but I will never grow weary of it. We had a threat of some kind of activity on airlines bound from Paris to the United States. Pick up Time magazine this week, it was all a bunch of crap. They never should have happened. People shouldn't have been inconvenienced. It just never should have happened. We've had, a Homeland Security office that elevates the terror alert from orange to yellow to purple to pink, whatever the hell it is. Why do they do this? They do this to let us know so that we might be on alert because they can't give us any specifics. What do we do with that? We make fun of that. Ah, ha, ha, ha. That's a bunch of crap, too. We got men and women who risk their lives to hunt down these terrorists and eventually get Saddam Hussein out of that hole in the ground. And what do we get from the United States? Well, we got, you know, we had Sean Penn, for instance, making his joke about, he's presumably not in charge anymore. We got a presidential candidate who completely and just absolutely and without any remorse whatsoever pushes aside all the work that those people have done in Iraq, saying that we're no safer today than we were before the war in Iraq. Bull crap. I got proof. Al-Qaeda's operating in Europe and in Saudi Arabia now, and specifically in Turkey. And you know what? Good. Might wake the freaking Turks up. Because they've been in a stupor for a long time. And the Saudi Arabians, it might get them out of their bed sheets, up off the waterbed, and out into the world to see what's going on. They think it's just our problem? Guess again, baby, we're taking care of the problem. Now it's those clowns' turns. They keep harping on the weapons of mass destruction. Where are they? Because if we don't have any weapons of mass destruction, then the war was bullcrap. All right, let's talk about this for a minute. You know, and I know, and every single swinging you-know-what out there knows why we fought this war. If you don't, then you need to go back to the first grade and start all over again. Honest to God. Because we have an American populace that's almost like third graders. What did you say? You said it's going to be... Well, all right, I lied. You lied. You lied. You lied to me. You knew what the war was about. You didn't think it was about weapons of mass destruction. This war started on September the 11th. There's no weapons of mass destruction, therefore there is no reason to go to war, as if some horrible thing happened in demolishing the totalitarianism of Iraq. It was unilateral. It had nothing to do with our friends. Bull, that's bull crap again. We consulted those clowns up one side and down the next. We enforced the United Nations' own resolutions. We didn't go against the United Nations. You want to know the brutal truth? Are you ready for it? Here's the brutal truth. We forced the UN to do its job. It didn't want to do it. It didn't want to do what it was empowered to do, what its charter told it to do, what its resolutions told it to do. It didn't have the guts to act. You know something? We fund that organization to the tune of billions. We house them in our country. If it wasn't for the United States, there wouldn't be a UN. You know it and I know it. And when push came to shove and the UN couldn't bring itself to do what it is chartered to do, and that is to enforce, if need be, militarily its resolutions, wouldn't do it. So we did it for them. You might say, we were the UN. Let me ask you a question. What do you do with a cop force that refuses to enforce the law? Better question. If I call the cops, and I tell them there's a family down here, and the guy's beating the crap out of the wife, well, we're not going to go down there because we feel that, you know, it's a domestic thing. Well, wait a minute, it's the law, okay? The law, you guys are empowered to enforce the law. The guy's beating the crap out of his wife. Are you going to go down there and do something about it, or aren't you? Well, at this particular juncture, we are not. We don't have the equipment. We have the men. And maybe if we just, you know, it'll go away. And, well, I'm going to go down there and do something about it. How dare you? Well, I got somebody's going to do something about it. So that's us. So we go down and we do something about it, and everybody's kicking our ass because we didn't go according to what the coppers wanted us to do. And we still got these pea brains running around with us. Where's the weapons of mass destruction? I'll tell you what a weapon of mass destruction is. He's sitting in a freaking cell right now staring at pictures of his sons on a slab. There, that's the weapon of mass destruction. Is that a good enough one for you? Right now, whether you'd like to know it or not, Al-Qaeda has operatives operating in Europe with dirty bombs. There's two guys specifically that the CIA is looking for. They're walking around with suitcases, in them radiological material. I'll even give you their names as soon as I find my, Ayman al-Zawahiri, Al-Qaeda's number two, sent out a guy by the name of Nidat Morsi. He's an Egyptian who, according to counterterror sources, is chairman of Al-Qaeda's Weapons of Mass Destruction Committee. He is believed to be traveling with one or two other people carrying dirty bombs. U.S. intelligence currently has a manhunt out for them in the United States, Mexico, Canada, and elsewhere. He's also known as Abu Kabab or Shish Kabab. I'm kidding. I threw that in myself. And his companions are one of the main immediate triggers for the raising of the terror alert in the United States from yellow to orange at the end of December. All right, I'll give you more, and when I say more, I do mean more. 1-800-449-8686. We've got a mailbag coming up, a walk down memory lane. The Atkins diet apparently is a load of hooey. And we got some flashbacks for you here tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. And our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
In other news, as we were mentioning, American special forces are engaged in operations inside Western Europe, Chechnya, and in Palestinian cities in the Middle East, looking for an individual by the name of Nidat Morsi. He is an Egyptian who is said to be carrying a dirty bomb. Additionally, they have also produced evidence of Chechenian and Palestinian involvement with Al-Qaeda. Now, there you go. There you go. When did you think the knife was going to get stuck right in your back? Palestinian involvement with Al-Qaeda. Thanks a lot. I guess we should expect it, though, right? Since we support Israel and you hate Jews? Okay. I got it. And the Chechens, we knew about that going home. I mean, the Chechens, Jesus, those guys, they'll fight for anybody and they'll do anything. Just throw them some broiled dog meat. Just give them a... You know, give them a day pass to a dirty movie theater, anything. Those guys will do anything for anything. You can pay them anything to do anything. Talk about lowlifes. Intelligence and military experts are discounting documents discovered in a base south of Kabul which claim to bear instructions on how to build nuclear weapons and missiles. However, they found at the Tora Bora base near Jalalabad, he built and managed this Morsi, the network's facilities for the manufacture of nuclear, chemical, biological, and toxic weapons, and trained agents in their use. Well, there you go. And why'd we go into Iraq? Well, maybe they were doing the same thing. Then again, maybe they weren't. Maybe we wanted to keep them from doing the same thing. How about them apples? 1-800-449-8686. Go to a phone call, but I want you to think about one more thing. On March 1st, last year, some scumbag by the name of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was captured in Pakistan. Remember the picture of that big fat slob that we woke up out of a deep sleep? Yeah, that piece of crap was living in a house owned by a guy by the name of Abdul Qudus. This guy's a Pakistani biologist who had access to biological, chemical, and nuclear production materials. He escaped. But in the rooms of his house, American forces found handwritten documents and computer hard drives to do with Al-Qaeda's efforts to build dirty bombs. And here comes this guy's name again, Abu Kabab. But his friends call him Shish. Let me do that again. Let me do it again. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jay?
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yes, sir. Good.
Well, I was just calling basically to say that I agree with the overthrow of Saddam Hussein, but what I didn't agree with was the reason the administration gave us for going in the first place.
Well, now let me ask you this. Why did you think we were going in?
Well, based on what our president said, we were going in search of weapons of mass destruction and their imminent threat to America.
Okay, so you didn't think there was any other reason?
No.
I did. That's all
okay.
I'm saying. In other words, there's what the president told you, and then there's what you thought. And I just thought maybe there was something different.
Well, that is what the president told us, along with other things. But
well, he told me that too. But I also knew there were a few other reasons.
Okay, but those other reasons weren't really the president's main reasons. He just kept harping on those two, and for those two not to pan out.
Well, let me ask you something. So they weren't his reasons. So other reasons became operable. What about that?
What other reasons?
Well, you just said we got rid of a real piece of garbage.
I agree with that.
We dismantled terrorist bases in the north, the al-Islam people who have been hooked up with al-Qaeda for years. We basically have a military presence in the world now where they have nothing but hate in their hearts for us. So there's some things happened, you know.
I completely agree with all of that, but the fact still remains that their involvement in 9/11 was none. I mean, they had nothing to do with 9/11, and we haven't caught that guy yet. And that's
well, let me ask you something. Do you think we should have been looking for that guy?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. What if would it be all right? Okay. Let me ask you this. Would it be okay if we invaded another country to get that guy?
Oh, absolutely. Did whatever was necessary.
Oh, so you'd be all right with us invading Pakistan, but you don't dig us invading Iraq?
Not if he's not there.
But you don't have a problem.
That would be like my neighbor slapping you, and then you come into my neighbor's house.
No. I just want to be clear. You don't have a problem with us going into Pakistan with or without UN approval to go after this guy, Osama bin Laden?
Oh, absolutely. I think we should go wherever in the world he is to get him.
We got UN approval or not.
Whether we have UN approval or not.
Well, you sound like a hardcore guy, Jay. I mean, you're my kind of guy. So what the hell? So in our pursuit of Osama, who cares if we take out another scumbag?
I completely agree. And I think Saddam should have been gone. I'm glad it has happened. I admire the Bush administration for it. It took guts. I mean, no other president would have done what he done. I'm very proud of that. But the fact still remains that we have not gotten the guy who...
Well, I'm all in favor of invading Pakistan, too. I think we got to, drop an A-bomb on them using one of their delivery systems, which I think is a mule cart or something. Anyway, Jay, thanks for calling the show. See, that guy makes a very good point. Yeah, I'll go anywhere to get Osama. Okay, so who cares if we take out one dirtbag or another on our journey to get Osama? You see, 3,000 people buried in the rubble in New York. Do you really care what the rest of the world thinks at this particular point, folks? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. That's our website, I should say. Our souvenir shop is there. Our audio archives are there. We have a scrapbook. We have, you know, audio visuals from interviews that I've done. We've got little cartoons that we do featuring the different characters on our show. We have show news, things that are coming up, maybe a little bit of news about the possibility of a Fox animated series, although it's just at a pilot stage right now, so who knows, and junk like that. In fact, I was supposed to see the animated character today, and one of our great producers, Chris Miller, sent me a email that said, Phil, what do you think? And there was nothing there. No attachment, nothing, you know. Phil, here's the animated character. What do you think of this look? And I couldn't find anything, so... But that and other news about the show, you can get at www.philhenryshow.com. In order to hear our audio and to see our video, and when I say video, we had a webcast of the show on January the 5th, so you could see me going into character and doing these different things. All you have to do is get a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 for a month. Or if you'd like to sign up for 6 months, you get a little, you know, El Cheapo discount. I don't know how much it is. You save a few bucks. So go to www.philhenryshow.com. A flashback now from last week. Vernon Dozier, a high school football coach, was on our show talking about his neighbor not being able to take a joke. His neighbor called the city on Vernon when he built a wall, saying that it was too far inside of the neighbor's property. Vernon thinks his neighbor's got it in for him because Vernon made an innocent joke When he realized his neighbor was Korean, Vernon said, "My dog, you know barbecue." And the cat didn't think it was funny.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I am a German living in the United States for 10 years. And I have to tell you, you are a very cruel and insensitive man. If I don't know somebody, if I don't know a person, and that person just walks right up to me and says, "Hey, you crowd," I would be very offended.
Well, I would think of all the people who would understand.
And somebody walked up to me, and I've known the person for a while and would call me a crowd, I would not be offended because I know where the person is coming from because I have known the person for a while.
Yeah, but
You do not walk up to me and call me a crowd, okay?
All right, but the difference is you guys lost the World War, so you have to take these jokes.
I extend you because I don't walk up to you and call you a hot dog-eating cowboy, okay?
Well, but here's the thing about the Germans.
I think you're very full of yourself.
You guys have to take these jokes.
I don't want to hear any of your dumb jokes.
Because you lost the war, you guys are going to have to...
I don't care how many...
You lost the war. We didn't. So you guys have to take the German jokes.
Never known before. And
the whole thing about
you tell
how you guys.
Do you eat my dog?
You eat dog?
Or whatever you said. I just think that you're very cruel and insensitive, and you're very full of yourself, and you shouldn't be allowed to be a teacher. Do you understand that? Because the crap that
you take a breath, Anka. Take a breath. Take a breath. All right, Vernon.
I just want to say to Anka, Sieg Heil.
Oh, that's really great.
You know
that's
what?
Really great.
I feel really sorry for your pupils, and I hope your crap doesn't spill over to them, because
we
must still live in the 1800s. You know, we live in the modern world now, and regardless who lives in the United States, you do not have any right to make any stupid jokes unless you know that person and they know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Hey, what'd you think of that Hogan's Hero? Seriously.
Just take a hold of yourself, you know, step back, recheck yourself, you know, and...
Check myself, get you.
And build a wall on my property and call me a crowd, I would take the wall down myself, okay? You got that?
These crowds love to push their weight around.
Oh, get out of here, will you, with your freaking crowd discipline. Anka, thank you for your call, okay?
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Still there? Oh, damn it, she hung up.
Why?
I wanted her to say one thing for me.
What?
Hogan... 30 days in the cooler for you and your man.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yes! Yes! Hey, Governor Dean.
Ah!
That's cool, baby. Hogan. 30 days in the cooler. Used to watch that show go big. Wow. They like the cooler. They got ham sandwiches and stuff in there. They found a way to ferry in. Oh, God, the poor Germans, huh? They're never, ever... generations will come and go, and they'll never live down that freaking Hitler, will they? God, you guys blew it when you put him in power, I'll tell you what. The butt of jokes from here to the end. From at least the next 100 years, you're going to be hearing this. Hogan? The general is coming today. I will go to the Russian front. Well, now, a General Clank. What was he, a colonel? Colonel Clank. Hogan, do you understand what this could mean to me? I could go to the Russian front. Oh, bug off, you freak. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Coming up, a mailbag. We got to walk down memory lane. How far back in time are we going for our memory lane bit today, Janice?
February 19th.
Thank you, Janice. My, how your 5 o'clock shadows come in. Don Parsley from February 19th. So that's coming up also on our program. And Michael Jackson. I want to ask you guys a question just about Michael Jackson when we come back. And we're going to take a little bit of a break here. But here it is. You know how he was up dancing around on the hood of that van and all of that baloney that he was doing? Don't you think now... With every prominent African-American who is on trial for some kind of a felony, Michael Jackson, O.J. Simpson, or Kobe Bryant. Let's just take those three. O.J.'s case is dead and buried, but he's kind of the precursor. Don't you think that now there is the implicit, there's kind of an implicit threat that unless they are found innocent, there may be a race riot?
Ah!
All right. I'm serious. Don't you think now? Isn't there kind of a thing floating out there? I asked Janice. She said, maybe not with Michael, because his people, those cats that were up there in Santa Maria, they were all paid anyway by his publicist to go up there and go, Michael is innocent, and stand around looking so stupid you want to just weep for them. You just want to weep for people like that. Look, I think Michael Jackson may very well be an innocent man. Am I willing to go up there with a sign and say Michael definitely is innocent? No, because I don't know. And anybody that would do that, you are so dumb that your children should be taken from you, and you yourself should probably be shot. Honest to God. Like they do a horse that's got a busted leg. Like in Seabiscuit. Boy, Pa, do we really have to shoot Seabiscuit? He's been a real good horse. Yeah, son. Seems like the horse can't get up. Please, Pa, don't do it, Pa. Please, Pa, don't do it. I'm sorry, son. I'll never forget that day that Seabiscuit got turned into turtle food. Yes, the day we shipped him off to the rendering plant, Ma stood on the porch, waved and went, and they took her away too. In fact, they took Ma away to the same rendering plant. All right, so don't you think that now, and I'm being very honest, and I know that, and I'm trying, seriously, I don't want to be whimsical or be disrespectful, but there is in the air this implied or implicit or this tacit sort of feel that unless a cat is found innocent, then the sort of the underclass, and it may be white or black or whites and blacks combined or predominantly black. I don't want to say African-Americans are going to riot because African-American, middle-class African-Americans, they're no more into rioting than any white people are. But I mean the certain disenfranchised peoples who may happen to be predominantly black, don't you think there's an implicit threat of a riot? Just like right after Rodney King, right? And you remember after O.J.? It was as if to say, if O.J. ain't... what's-his-ass was here? Jesse Jackson was in town. Every time that cat shows up, you know that there's some, you know, it's going to be like some very serious heat, and he's there to cool it out. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's why you showed up, right, Reverend? To chill everything out, right? Sure. Anytime him and Sharpton show up, they say, well, we're here to just kind of cool this out, but you know as well as I do. They're like saying, the people, or in Jesse's case, the people, or however the hell he says it, they ain't going to put up with this crap. So Jackson, and even more to the point, Kobe Bryant, because he's got the same kind of dim bulb supporters. And in Kobe's case, most of the people that dig him hate women. I mean, hate them. Hate them. Probably can't even have sex with them. And, that guy is found guilty. You watch. We're going to have ourselves another Burn Hollywood Burn. I feel a riot going on. First they're guilty, now they're gone. Yeah, I'll take in a movie, but it'll take a black one to move me. And all that other crap. All that other hip-hop. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, look at this. Kobe Bryant lost his McDonald's endorsement deal. You know, if he's getting railroaded like a lot of people think he is, if I were you, I wouldn't be eating at McDonald's anytime soon. Oh, look out. How about that? How about that for a little bit of logic? Huh? What do you think of that, Governor? I ain't eating there either, man. So you think Kobe's getting a shaft, huh? You think he's taking it right up the bright red rosy? Well, guess what? McDonald's just dropped them like a freaking bad habit. You still going to eat your whatever the hell it is meal over there? Jesus, do the Lakers suck these days? Oh, my God. Unreal. You know, I told you about Phil Jackson. A lot of you guys didn't want to believe me. You know, the Zen master this and that. You know, let me tell you what. He ain't got these big guys in the lineup, and he's just another freaking Del Harris. You got that? These cats are like, they're sucking a quart of buttermilk out there. Kobe Bryant loses McDonald's endorsement deal. McDonald's said, you know, we like Kobe, we just can't have any more Negroes representing our hamburgers. Jesus, that's sad. As black spokespeople go, Kobe was okay, but in point of fact, we don't want them in our stores anymore, and why invite them in by having one endorse our product, said a spokesman for the company. So they said, we're dropping all blacks from endorsing McDonald's burgers. Whites are invited in, of course, and we think we may be able to get Mark Harmon out of retirement. Well, that's great. 1-800-449-8686. Zach. Hello, Zach.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You're on the air, Zach.
You sound like a real idiot.
Thank you.
First of all, I'm on a cell phone, and I'm going to waste my minutes to tell you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Kobe Bryant, you already sound to me like you convicted him.
Really?
Okay. And as far as McDonald's, more black people, they get more money from black people than basically just about anybody else.
Well, you're not going to eat there. You're not eating there, are you?
Do I eat there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I buy my kids their Happy Meal every now and then.
Well, they just dropped Kobe, so if you're a fan of his, I wouldn't be eating there anymore.
Now, I don't think they cut Kobe.
Yes, they did.
I'm going to McDonald's because of that.
Yes, because they think that
they're going to... If they don't want to have
Why don't they want to have him there? Why don't they want to have
him? It's all about image, okay?
Okay, why don't they want his image?
Probably because, just like Whitey, like you, I already have accused him. What about Robert Blake?
Oh, so McDonald's is being unfair.
Robert Blake.
So McDonald's. All right, I'll give you that.
But you talk about Michael Jackson.
Yeah. So McDonald's is being unfair, but you're still going to put money into the white man's pocket because your kid.
Wait,
Zach!
I just found this out.
Coconut.
I just found this out right now.
Freaking coconut!
I don't know if I'm going to go back to McDonald's.
Oh, you will. You will.
Huh?
You will. As soon as
you tell me, I'm going to eat a McDonald's.
Because I'm telling you to. I'll tell you why. You know why I can tell you? Because I'm the white man. I represent the media, and I'm telling you, the black man, to go eat in my burger shack, so do it. And do it now. And take your kids in, too.
No. I just found out from you. That's something I'm going to have to think about.
What's to think about? McDonald's is accusing Kobe Bryant. Obviously, they're dropping him because they think he stinks.
You are? What difference does it make? You're on the media. You're doing it right now.
Yeah, but you're calling me a name, and you're still eating at McDonald's.
I haven't eaten there yet. Okay.
Well, you will.
2 minutes ago.
As soon as your kid starts screaming for one.
I'm not an idiot. I have to find kind of read up on it a little bit. I'm going to listen to you and believe what you say.
What do you read?
The media. I'm going to listen to everything what you say. No.
Hey, look at Zach. Zach. Zach, put down Jet, and pick up Newsweek or something like that.
Oh, I'm going to find out. Yeah, definitely. Now I'm going to check it out. But as far as Kobe Bryant and all this hip-hop stuff you're talking about, you know how stupid you sound?
Hey, Zach, you know something? I know more about black culture than you do.
I'm black. How are you?
I don't give a crap. You're a dumbass. You're a dumbass. You may be black, but you're a dumbass. Okay, you want to have a debate? Here. I have far more knowledge about black culture than you. Far more.
Wait a second.
Far more.
Wait a second. You don't even hear me. You make a statement. Let me talk. Are you there?
Oh, okay. All you've been doing is talking.
Okay, let me tell you something. Have you ever been pulled off your car
squeaking
and had handcuffs and made you sat on the ground?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. Get a load of him. He's telling me my life now. He's telling me. Yes, I have.
Not because of discrimination, okay?
Well, the guy didn't like long hairs. Is that the same thing?
Oh, well, I'm going to tell you this right now. You don't know
tell me all about
black culture, nobody black.
Tell me all about it. You know something?
You're talking about no hip-hop stuff.
You know something? You know something? I'll tell you this, Zach. I sound stupid talking about hip-hop. You sound stupid talking about the greater media and the greater world at large because you got no experience with it either. So what do you think of that? Zach, you are a 42-year-old child, and you have no ability. You have no ability to listen to an argument and actually decipher anything.
Tell me that. How?
I'm telling you that. I can tell a man who does not understand the subtlety of art. Do you know me? What are you telling me about my life for, man?
Are you black?
Are you white?
I'm half black and half white.
Half black and half white. That means you're black. That means you're black. There ain't no such thing as half white. You're black.
No.
You know it's true.
My mom is white. My dad is black.
So you get to walk around out in San Marino and buy houses and stuff out there?
That sounds so stupid. You're an idiot.
No, I just want to know. The white folks, like they don't chase you out of San Marino.
They chase me out of San Marino?
Yeah.
I live in Orange County, okay?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you're white, nobody's getting nervous when you're walking down the street in Arcadia, right?
I'm fair complexion, so I get it from both ways.
Are you one of those freckle-faced black guys?
Yeah, I'm light-skinned, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Oh, no, I look very handsome. Believe me, I get more women than you could ever think about. Trust. Okay?
So I've had all kinds
talk about being black. I've raised in the black world, so don't tell me about you don't want about
yeah,
being black.
Hey, Zach, I know. You're another guy with all kinds of ghetto credentials, and you just got it all over everybody.
That? Here we
and
go.
You got it all figured out, don't you?
I'm a college graduate. Don't tell me. I know everything.
Until you know the pain of the white man, don't ever talk to me.
Here we go. Here you go. That's what you want me to say so you can try to talk to me. That's what you want to hear.
What did I say? What did I say?
You said, about the white man and all this. No, that's what you want me to say.
No, I'm just telling you.
You know what? I'm going to say something. I didn't even know my mother is white, okay? And I didn't get no racism. My mother is the most colorblind person, the most beautiful person in the world. She's white.
Even though she's black with freckles.
Like that. All white people were like my mother until I got older, okay? So don't tell me.
See? Shows how dumb you were.
No, that's dumb? I'm a child and that's dumb? That's how sound.
You were a dumb kid.
And all your listeners are listening how stupid you sound. How could you even say some stupid things that you say?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Have your testicles descended yet?
Have my testicles what?
Descended.
Have they descended?
Yes, sir.
I hope your listeners are listening to this, how stupid. You're funny. You know, have yours descended yet?
No, they have not.
They haven't?
No. I just thought maybe you could come over and give me a hand with them.
No, I don't think so. Maybe your mother probably has been doing that to you all this time.
Aha, another black guy with a mother joke.
Yeah, or you know, maybe your father.
Or another, I should say, redheaded black guy with a mother joke.
No, I don't have red hair, okay?
You said you had freckles, now you're lying again, just like Bush.
No, I have freckles,
just like Bush, you lie.
Okay?
All you redheaded
my
black guys lie.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, right off the bat, this hour, we're going to take a walk down memory lane on the Phil Hendry Show. We have a lot of listeners who request bits from days of yore. This is actually relative recent. It is February of last year, about a year ago, February 19th of 2003. And the letter comes to us from Steve. He says, "Dear Phil, a while back you had on a character named Don Parsley. He was asking people for money because he lost his job as a result of a snowstorm. Don wanted money for his kids, but kept mixing up their names and kept changing the way in which his wife had died. Near the end of the bit, after a woman catches Don changing his story again about how his wife died, he finally admits, quote, 'She was abducted by aliens 2 years ago,' end quote. The caller then remarks, make sure you get her back unused. To which Don replies, 'What? You mean they've been putting it to her with their alien penis?' End quote. Thanks, Phil. Steve." Here it is, Steve, from February 19th, 2003. It's Don Parsley.
"I'm riding home with my kids and my husband."
"Yes, ma'am."
"And we're listening to your story because we have kids of our own."
"Okay."
"And I'm telling my husband, 'Wow, honey, you know, we're going through hard times, but this guy's really going through really hard times.'"
I am.
"Offer him help."
"Yes,
but
ma'am."
"Then I hear you changing your story every 2 seconds, and you know what? It just doesn't cut it for
my daughter,
I work very hard for my money."
All right, I want to ask a question. What is the name of your daughter?
"Claire."
Which, the daughter who has leukemia.
"Now you have me confused, okay?"
"How can you get confused when it comes to your kid's name? See, it's very hard to believe your story."
"My daughter's name is Samantha."
"All right. What disease does she have, sir?"
"She has a brain tumor."
"Then why did you say she had leukemia?"
"If I did, I was confusing it with a brain tumor. That's all."
"Do you know what leukemia is, sir?"
"I thought it was a brain tumor. I'm sorry, sir."
Leukemia is a blood. It's the cancer of the blood."
"All right, sir."
"You thought leukemia was a brain tumor?"
"Yes, I did."
"Now, okay.
How old is your daughter?"
"My daughter is, she's 22.
22? She was 9 a little while ago. Wasn't she? Or maybe I'm listening to it wrong.
No, ma'am. No, you misheard it. She's 22.
"No, I heard 9, too. I heard 9.
You have a 7 or 6-year-old and a 9-year-old.
You told
me. Now she's 22?
No, you also said that you thought she passed away, and I said she passed a kidney stone.
You know,
I just want my daughter.
He should get a story straight here. Who's Claire?"
That's my daughter."
"I thought your daughter's name was Samantha."
"Yes, one of them. I have 3 daughters. One Samantha.
Oh, now it's 3 daughters. I thought you had 2 daughters and a boy.
I have 3. I have 2 daughters and a boy. My son is, and I this is tough for me to admit. My son's effeminate sometimes.
Oh, come on! You know what?
Wait a minute, man.
You're sick.
No, ma'am. All I'm saying.
Come on, pal. What do you mean your son's effeminate?
Yeah, he's gonna say that his son's a fag, and it's just a
ma'am,
child.
No, ma'am. I did not say fag. I said sometimes he is a.
Oh, he's a feminist. What's the difference?
Well, my daughter Carly had a brain tumor. My daughter Amanda has leukemia, and my.
And
daughter...
now your son's a fag. Now he goes by the name of Claire. You need to get a life. And this story about your, well, bullcrap.
Story about which one?
About all 3 of them.
No, one.
They're all 4 because according to your story, you have 4 now.
So I guess
you have a 22-year-old daughter.
All right, so you think I'm a liar, right?
You are.
Okay, so if you won't believe this one because it's absolutely true, but you won't believe it.
What's true?
What I'm going to say to both of you now, and you will not believe it, but it's true. And all I can say is Jesus in heaven, he knows I'm telling the truth.
All right, what?
My wife was abducted by aliens.
Oh, no.
2 years ago. Okay.
Get out of here!
All right, then Jesus Christ knows I'm telling the truth, and the two of you can burn in hell.
That's fine, but
yeah,
you know
my
what?
Wife
you're
was
going
taken
first,
away
buddy.
By a spaceship.
You're going first.
A spaceship.
You know, because you're trying to steal money from
no, I'm not,
people
ma'am.
Who are trying to help
no, I'm
everybody.
Not. All I'm trying to say is my children are left motherless because people from outer space decided to take my wife.
Look, I don't know what you are or what you're smoking.
Yeah, you know
you
something.
Lay off it.
What
look,
have
guys,
I done
I gotta
wrong?
Go. I have
what
my
have I done
in the
wrong?
Car.
Well, how much are you going to give me?
How much am I going to give you?
Yes.
You better get a job if you want something, buddy.
All I ever wanted to do was get my wife back from outer space.
Well, make sure the aliens return her to you unused.
Unused? Oh, so they're putting it to her with their alien penises?
There it is, a walk down memory lane. That was sweet. That was tight. It was out of sight.
Hey, what, man, you trying to be hip-hop now, Henry? Is that what you're trying to do? You trying to lay it on everybody like a black man, like a brother? Is that it?
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty good. 1-800-449-8686. Phil's mailbag coming up. We got a story about, you know, George Harrison. You heard about that, didn't you? That scumbag doctor that was treating George, and they wanted him to sign a guitar before he went off and died. And then we have Mel Gibson, who won't go away with that stupid movie of his. All ahead on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'll have a little bit of the mailbag coming up and some other news here on the Phil Henry Show. And don't forget, our website is www.philhenryshow.com. www.philhenryshow.com. You can write us and we'll put it into our mailbag if, you know, if it's interesting. Doesn't have to be positive. It doesn't have to be flattering. It should be interesting. Not some dull thing. Some dull... you know, sort of assault. Because if you don't dig me, I can understand that. We get, you know, letters that are funny. But if it's just a hateful piece of mail filled with pejoratives and vituperatives, I give those to Chris to go home and read to himself and, you know, just get high. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Also on our website, by the way, is the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. And that's available for sale, and all of the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Now, Mel Gibson's got this movie. You know, you would think, in this society, if we anticipated, which of course we don't, and I'm not trying to change things, I'm not saying anything, I just, it's for me to point things out, and you guys can do anything you want with it. You can have any kind of a world you want, you can create any kind of a society you want. It's not me. And I'm not the leader of the pack here. I don't care what happens. I'm just going to point a couple of things out. If we anticipated, for instance, the results of a study being done by an immunologist on AIDS, if we anticipated the results of scientific studies into certain kinds of cancers, for instance, breast cancer, if we anticipated and wrote about and talked about and had on our radio shows and our TV shows doctors who are working on, you know, I don't know, the cure of dwarfism, whatever. Half as much as we've been talking about this jackass Mel Gibson movie, the world, this place would be Disneyland. This is a world that talks more about movies than anything that I've ever seen. Oh, there's a new movie coming out. And when is it going to come out? And what is it about? And who's in it? And how much is it made? And why isn't it out yet? And I hear it's controversial. And how come the Jews don't like it? And how come the Catholics don't like it? And what has Mel Gibson got to say about it? And he doesn't have anything to say about it? Oh, my God, he ought to have something to say about it. What did the Pope say about it? We have to know what the Pope said. And when is the movie going to come out? Well, he's showing it to just a few people to see what they think. He showed it to to my good friend Matt Drudge. Drudge said it sucked, Mel. No, I'm kidding. He said it was good. And it's coming out next year. No, it's coming out this year. And it's got to be out pretty soon. And it's coming. It's coming. Oh, my God, it's coming. Till finally. And this film about Jesus Christ hanging off of a cross that's causing the controversy, I'm offended by it. Let me tell you why I'm offended by it. I'm offended that it's even out. I'm offended that we're even talking about it. I don't give a crap whether it says Jews killed Jesus. Maybe they did. So what? The Jews killed Jesus 2,000 years ago. The Christians keep on killing him every day. You want to talk about what Jews did to Jesus? What do you think the Christians are doing to him? Killing his ass every day. So they killed him. Who else was going to kill him? What, the Laplanders? The only cats around there were Jews. Romans had a hand in it. Jesus himself was a Jew. You know, this thing about Jesus was killed by the Jews, and so that's a reason to hate them, right? Is really fascinating that more time is put into this discussion of this question. I think Jews should just embrace the fact that they did kill Jesus, that they had legal reason to do it. And if they hadn't have killed him, then all of this bullcrap we call Christianity wouldn't have happened anyway. So what's your problem? What's your stupid problem? But Gibson, you know, forget about that for a moment. He's been getting mileage out of this thing like I've never seen before in my life. Why? It's a movie about the Bible. And, or apparently the last 12 hours of the life of Jesus Christ. And it's bloody and it's violent. And it shows him hanging off of a cross with the blood dripping down his face. I don't know how much more gory you could make it. And he's getting beat up and kicked in the balls and smashed in the face. And he's getting tortured by the Romans. Then he gets dragged up the hill. They nail him to the cross. That's the end of the story. You know how it goes. Over and over and over again. See, this whether you want to believe this or not, and this is going to come as a shock. The Bible is a book. It was written by some people, some of whom are believed to have been inspired by God. They're believed to have been inspired by God by the believers in that book, the Christians. Great, I got no problem with that. But now they slap it on over into movies. You'd think that Mel Gibson was one of the four apostles, the four cats that wrote the Gospels. You'd think it was Mark, Luke, Matthew, John, and Mel. He's one of the five. In fact, I think it was Mel. I don't think it was Mark. It was Matthew, Mel, Luke, and John. Or Melvin, if you will. And he has this movie that's going to come out. And it'll tell the story of how it was. Well, no, it isn't telling the story of how it was, because he wasn't there. It's telling a Hollywood version of how it was. He's going to have it in Aramaic, and he's going to have it in Spanish. He's going to have it in Pig Latin, and he's going to have all kinds of subtitles. And it's, you know, supposedly a marvelous work of film. But all we ever do around here is read the freaking, you know, we look at the movies. We don't ever read the book. We don't ever pick up the, you know, if this thing is about Jesus freaking Christ, then why don't you read about this cat? I think it's in something called the Bible. These movies, man, have taken over what literature used to provide in our lives. Nobody reads a damn book anymore. And it's like that one guy that called my show that night. And this guy, this is why I was kidding that guy last hour, but I bet you I know more black culture than you do. Because that black guy calls my show and I said, tell you what, did you read the autobiography of Malcolm X? No, but I saw the movie. Seeing a movie's got nothing to do with reading a book. It doesn't even remotely come even close. I'll give an example. The movie Seabiscuit is a turd compared to the book Seabiscuit. Read the book, now you get yourself one hell of a story. The movie doesn't even come close to telling the story as it was told in the book. Not even close. Remember The Exorcist? That freaking book is scarier than anything they could have put up on that screen. Fantastic. You think anybody read it? Nah, nah, they're too stupid. Who the hell reads? What's another one that was really great? Lord of the Freaking Rings. You want to talk about a great trilogy? When I was in high school, I read The Hobbit, and I tried to get through the trilogy. Excuse me. Unfortunately, I was stoned most of the time. And, you know, you can't be stoned and read that. You can be stoned and think about it, but not actually read it. It's tremendous. It's far superior. I think I could go on and on. And Clockwork Orange, better than the movie. Steppenwolf, better than the movie. Better than the band, in fact. Just a joke. Amityville Horror, Jaws. I don't give a crap what you're talking about. But there is nothing that is anticipated more these days than some jackass movie that some director is carefully sort of squirting out publicity-wise, and he's got this guy sitting in on one screening, and he's got another cat sitting in another screening, and then he's going to get some jackass from the LA Times to interview him in depth, and it's going to be controversial, and it's going to be earth-shattering, and it's going to be groundbreaking. It's going to be a steaming pile. That's what it's going to be. The Passion. Passion of what? And it's, you know, all of this stuff. Look, dude, you know, make your freaking movie. What is it with you guys spending all of this time writing about it? A movie nobody has seen. The average guy on the street doesn't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about right now. I don't even know why I'm talking about it myself. The people out there, they don't know about this freaking movie. This is something that the intelligentsia within the confines of Hollywood have been talking about ad nauseum, a movie about Jesus hanging from the cross. And man, how many times have they tried that one? Ten Commandments, the robe, the Bible, the this, the that, the Last Temptation of Christ. Remember when that one came out? You know, that's the most boring movie I think that has ever been made. And it was the controversy around that thing was unbelievable. It was supposed to be just shocking. You know something, Scorsese, man? You really make a lousy movie these days. You really do. That sucked. Then you followed up with Goodfellas. That was pretty good. Casino, whatever. And then along comes this pile of crap called Gangs of New York, which is funny in parts. That's how bad it is. That's how lousy it is. And everybody say, oh, that's the Academy Award. The time we waste with these things, ladies and gentlemen, is beyond belief. But you want to read about the gangs in New York, which I've done. It's a great story. It's got nothing to do with Boss Tweed. And it's got very little to do with the freaking draft riots. And Butcher Bill, or Bill the Butcher as he was called, he wasn't some dude that was flinging freaking cleavers in the air. And when he finally died, it wasn't out on the streets at the end of a gang fight. It was in a bar room. Some guy walked up to him and stuck it in him while he was having himself a drink. The way most of us will go, if we're lucky. So, you know, when this movie comes out, this Passion, I'll tell you what, if we get passes, then I'll go see it. And we will give away pairs to the lucky 10th caller each hour. But other than that, you can take it and flush it. I'd love to give away tickets to The Passion by Mel Gibson. All right, you know the movie we were dissing? Well, we've got a pair of tickets at the Pantages Theater this Friday night. What do you think about that, Chris? You're a Bible reader. You're a guy that... You're into the Bible, aren't you?
I'm excited to see it.
This cat, my associate producer, Chris Pelton, he's got like Wolverines tattooed up one arm. He's got like a woman screaming on the other. His face has swastikas all over it, and he reads the Bible. You're excited about it?
I can't wait.
Can't wait for what? What, intermission?
I can't wait to see the rendition. It's supposed to be like...
You're going to get into that movie, and you won't be able to wait for intermission. Yeah, because it looks like it's pretty cool, because the Romans all have butch cuts, and they look like punks. Yeah. All right, man. Better answer that phone. The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, folks, is out, and I can tell you it's worth it. Only $20, but it lasts. It just goes on and on and on. And the best part is all the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. Now, that's a deal. The CD is called The Death of Talk Radio. You can get it at our souvenir shop by going online at www.philhenryshow.com. And as I said, all of the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids. We don't keep any money. I mean, we don't make any money on the sale of our CD. And we give all the money over to my friend's place and have been doing so for the last, God, it's going on now 8 years, 7 years. Or if you don't have a computer and you don't know anything about that online buying stuff, you can buy it on the telephone. If you have yourself a credit card, you can call 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445 to pick up the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. I also have a programming note that I forgot to give you, and I, of those of you who listen to our show on XM, our show is now heard on Extreme, Channel 152. Extreme, Channel 152. I want to tell you that because we've had a ton of email from people saying, where is your show on you know, XM these days? We are on Extreme. We were on another channel. We moved to Extreme, Channel 152. We air 4 to 7 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, on XM, Extreme, Channel 152. Mark it down so you'll know where to find us, especially folks, you know, streaming across the country in the trucks and stuff. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Phil's Mailbag on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
When I got this Michael Jackson standing on the hood of that van, which is fine. I don't get, you know, I'm not that offended by it. You know, a lot of people are, how dare he this and how dare he that. You know, Michael Jackson's Michael Jackson. He's a performer. I'll tell you what I'm scared of are those people that were up there. Gloria, if you're listening, Gloria Allred, go up there and take the kids away from every one of them. What adult would be up there, like, waving the one finger at Michael Jackson going, we love you, man, and you're innocent? What grown adult with children would be up there? I want to find out the names of all of them. I want their children removed from their homes, and then their homes fumigated and then burned to the ground. How about them apples? Look at these idiots. God. Now, Jackson, I happen to think, may be the victim of a huge railroad job. Or some kind of a job. But then again, if the cat's guilty, he's guilty. I'm not going to sit here and say it's impossible. You know what I'm saying? It's not impossible. Maybe it's possible. Just because the guy sings the song really cool that I like, Rock With You, or whatever the hell the name of that thing is, that's a cool tune. It don't mean he didn't touch little boys. I don't know. But to go up there and look like an idiot? I ought to have my kids taken from me. I ought to be thrown into a jail cell, transported to Devil's Island, and just sit there picking the freaking dirt from underneath my toenails on a beach someplace for the rest of my life. While my children grow up unfettered and free in a worthy home somewhere thousands of miles away. Thank you. And now it's time for our mailbag. This is from Annie. Hi, Phil. I have to say, first off, your show is the only show I listen to on the radio. I first got hooked with Steve Bozell and his plight to sue the Jerry Lewis show because Jerry resembled the Elephant Man during his telethon. Later, I heard Margaret and her fight for airtime and trying to get medicinal marijuana for her husband after he kicked the door of his Cadillac when a merger deal went wrong. Since then, I've been a huge supporter and promoter of your show. When you had the free weekend, I downloaded all I could, burned them to a CD, and fooled people as they rode in my car listening to you. Everyone, and I do mean everyone, fell for it and became fans. Thanks for the endless laughs. I'm your number one fan, Annie. See, this is the kind of woman that I'd have her kid taken from her. I'm kidding. I'm starting to rethink that Michael Jackson stuff, too. You know, if I got on the hood of a van and people were loving my ass the way I'd think, what am I talking about? Take their kids away from them. I'd have them over for milk and cookies, too. In fact, I might start sleeping with their kids. Just, I'm joking. All right, Phil, just curious, do you actually don a hand puppet during your Frodo bits, you know, for artistic motivation? Love the show, Todd. Is that Todd, Michael Reagan's former engineer, just sending emails? I'm kidding. The NFL announced today that for financial reasons, they had to eliminate one team from the league. So they decided to combine the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and form one team, therefore saving jobs. They will be known as the Tampax. Unfortunately, they're only good for one period and have no second string. Bentley, Arizona. Jesus. Hey, Phil, I'm not sure how you spell his last name, but the new character, Moose, is awesome. You got the Canadian accent perfect, and his voice sounds unique. Phil, please include more bits with Moose. He's awesome. Ben Chiaffi, Burlington, Vermont. He's referring to Bud Dickman's replacement with news even pro hockey players can understand, Moose McGoran. Phil, the ugly baby routine was beyond funny. Golem looking at you from the crib was just too much. By the time the southern lady called to confess that she had an ugly baby, I was absolutely crying. Please have some mercy on those of us who have to drive while we listen to your show. All the best, Pat in Greenport, New York. The ugly baby. Margaret wanted to do makeovers for babies. You got Gollum in the crib. Phil, on D-Day, the day of the invasion of Normandy, June 6, 1944, that General Eisenhower outlined the invasion to some 400 newsmen covering the war. He left them with this statement: "The lives of these men are now in your hands." Not one newsman broke the story until the actual invasion took place. We cannot do this today because the media has no credibility. Do you think General Eisenhower would have told Sean Penn, "Yours in comedy, Phil Pusateri"? Hi, Phil, and Happy New Year. When I'm having a bad day at work, I simply mutter to myself, Bob Green saying the noodles would come in, and then I would say to Bobby... Wait a minute, man. Whenever I'm having a bad day at work, I simply mutter to myself what Bob Green said on your show. Quote, the noodles would come in, and then I would say, to Bobby, all right, hit it. Funny stuff. Thanks for busting my stress. John Jettick, Madison, Georgia. He's talking about Bob Green would play the Chinese national anthem while he stocked his shelves full of Chinese foods at his grocery store so that the cats that were bringing in the Chinese food would feel good. So the noodles come in. All right, hit it. Phil, let me just say that Vernon is my favorite character that you do. My father passed away last April, and as I listen to you, it brings back great memories. The voice for Vernon sounds exactly like my dad. The laugh that you do, the sighs and everything else is just like my father. Thanks for bringing a smile and a laugh in a year that was a difficult one. Steve Wenzel. Finally, Phil, my nomination for one of the funniest lines ever, and it wasn't even said by you or one of your characters. It was said by a caller, and it went something like this. Quote, I bet you would get slapped across the face in Iran, wouldn't you, Mr. Testicle? You know what, dude? I don't know what you could possibly... This guy calls himself the Saint of Killers? Anyway, I don't know what you're referring to, but it could be a flashback from a show we did recently with Raj Fanin, in which he said, the United States, by landing on Mars and fighting the war in Iraq, is rubbing in how great they are to countries like Iran that still use banana palm fronds to wipe their rear ends. Here it is.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
First of all, this gentleman, that's the representative of Iranian embassy here.
Yes.
Your name doesn't sound Persian. I'm a Persian man. Okay. You are embarrassing Persia.
Wait a minute. Don't talk
about the great things of Persia. Cyrus the Great, the man that gave all the slaves freedom. Okay, freedom of religion, you sponsor terrorism, you go around spending your money not on education and science, maybe your rockets won't look like garbage can. If you didn't spend your money on terrorism, and you spent your money on building things, on science, on education of people, you build roads for people.
Why don't they have the Academy Awards in Toronto?
Look at you. You're sitting in Atlantic City complaining about America and how bad it is, but you're playing blackjack. You would be slapped in the face in the street of Iran, wouldn't you, Mr. Testicle?
Huh? You call me Mr. Testicles.
You call yourself Persian? You're Arab. You're a raghead, and you're giving my country a bad reputation and the Persians.
I want to ask you a question.
You're sitting there talking about Saddam Hussein? America,
you know,
did a great job.
Why won't they? I want you to shut your mouth. Shut up.
Your government.
Shut up. Shut up.
Don't tell me to shut up.
I'm telling you to shut up.
Uneducated Arab.
You call me an uneducated Arab? That is like slapping me across my face.
Yes, you are an Arab. You're defending Arab. You're defending, you're not defending freedom. You're not a Persian man.
Let me tell you something. I have, why will they not have the Academy Awards in Tehran?
Yeah, what do you do with the money? What do you do with all the money that you've received in the last 22 years after the revolution? You've spent it on garbage. You've spent it on garbage.
We have one-legged Iranians doing Guys and Dolls in the Tehran Dinner Theater. And they have
really
one bald man.
All right, listen, Mohammed.
Really.
Mohammed, you do it. You said it very well, sir. Thank you.
He is not Persian. He is, I think he's from Texas.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Wow, that cat, he didn't dig the fact. You're an Arab. You're a raghead. I'm a Persian. You know, the Persians think they're way, way better. And actually, they are. Well, they are. I mean, Alexander the Great was a Persian and all that. Like the guy said, even though he was gay. Alexander the Great, that is. Nothing wrong with that. But in any event, boy, did you hear that guy, the prejudice again? Look at that. I mean, why would you know the difference between a Persian and an Arab? I wouldn't if I fell over top of them. Although, I had a girlfriend that was from Iran once, but I used to think she was a raghead, and I tell her so. I'm kidding around. But you see, that's kind of like the subtlety of difference between Canadians and Americans, don't you think? Like, what's the difference between a Canadian and an American? That's right, about 100 pounds in a plaid shirt. Now, All right, 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, now I want to just finish my thought about Janice's friends coming down here with their meat and their soup can and not being able to get across the border with their soup. They had to get it dumped out because we were afraid of mad cow disease. And I understand how our dear friends in Canada might be offended by that, like we're treating them like a bunch of Mexicans. And I realize up in Canada you find that to be a bad comparison, but nonetheless, you kind of are like Mexicans. And Well, I'm not kidding. You are. You come from another country. I mean, it's just as simple as that. There's no difference between you and a Mexican. Mexicans, Canadians, English, French. See, it's nothing against you personally. We got a whole new thing going on down here. I don't know whether you heard about it or not, but we're a little paranoid of everybody now. See, we can't trust anybody anymore. They're coming in from everywhere, man. Swear to God. And on top of everything else, we got to worry about SARS. We got to worry about mad cow. When's the last time we exported a disease to another country? I mean, America. Have we ever pitched the disease out to another country? I don't think we have. The British introduced syphilis and gonorrhea to the South Pacific. And, of course, all Europeans introduced smallpox, measles, chickenpox, and the common cold to North American Indians. But as Americans here in this very young century, in the past century, I don't think we ever brought any disease into any place that heretofore had not had it. But thank you very much, Canada. You've given us mad cow disease. Now then, and what do you think about that, Governor? You're digging that, baby, huh? Hey, Governor, forget about being president. I think you've got mad cow disease. Yeah. I think you do, dude. I think that's why you're screaming like that. I think you got an infected brain, Jim. I think you've been eating one too many burgers up there at Wimpy's of Alberta. So they got all pissed off. Look, guys, honest to God, ain't nothing personal against anybody, but we got a problem in this country, man. We got cats flowing over here left and right, and now they think they got a perfect right to come here. As a matter of fact, the President of the United States has basically told them they do. We got people coming in here as if it's their God-given right, no matter what country they live in, to come here. Honest to God. Well, it's America, isn't it? Well, yes, it is. Well, that means it's just anybody can go there. It's like Disneyland, isn't it? We can just buy our ticket, and we can just go in, and we can have all kinds of fun and go, wee, and, you know, crap anywhere we want to and do whatever we want and make fun of whatever we want and insult your flag and insult your government, insult your people. And then when we're all done, we'll just go on off to where it was that we came from. Can't we do that? Well, how dare you not let us do that? Well, things are changing a little bit, man. People are getting a little protective down here. We're getting a little tense. We're getting a little hot under the collar. Don't bug us. Don't push it. You see what I'm saying? You know how it is when, you know, it's a little hot and a guy's just like ready to explode? That's the whole freaking country right now. Don't push it anymore. We've all had it up to here and here and here. Hey, Governor, you want to see something? All right. And, you know, we just ain't going to take it anymore, baby. So if you're coming down from Canada, consider yourself lucky that you got in, period. Period. Forget whether you brought your soup with you or not. That they even let you over the border, be happy with that one. And I'll tell you something else. There's people coming over here, they got the visa for this. And they got the visa, they got a work permit, and they got a vacation visa, and they got all kinds of crap. All we need is one of them to walk into some building one day with a freaking suitcase with a bomb in it strapped to his ass, and it blows 20,000 people up, and the next thing you know, they're going to be pointing at which border the guy came in. You don't want it to be the country you're from, do you? No! That would make a lot of people really mad. So just chill it out. We got our hands full in Iraq. We're on Mars right now. We're digging up some dust to find out if there's any Martians. We're trying to track Al-Qaeda. We're trying to track Howard Dean, make sure he's getting his meds. We're all over the place. We're muling pharmaceuticals up from Mexico, selling them cut rate to the senior citizens. You know. So we can't be worrying about whether or not we got mad cow this or some other bullcrap, or SARS. Jesus. You know, what the hell was it with that SARS in Toronto anyway? Why was it in Toronto? Was it because there was a lot of Asian folks coming in there? Why are they all coming in there? I mean, L.A. has got a lot of people from Asia pouring in daily. You want to know why it is, Janice? I'll tell you why. We don't just let anybody into our country, but you in Canada, you let the scum come in. You let every zipper, I'm kidding. I'm just doing Margaret Cho material. That's all I'm doing. I'm just doing Margaret Cho zipperhead material. So don't be talking to me about what a racist I am. And as far as Mexico is concerned, I'm going to say it again like I said last week. The problem is in Mexico City. It ain't with the Mexican immigrants, and it ain't up in Washington, and it ain't Bush. Bush, although, you know, I mean, look at the guy. Personally, I don't like the side that he's coming down on this immigration thing. I think he should have hardballed that guy Fox all the way. I really do. I think he should have said, look, you got a problem down in your country. Don't dump your problem on us. Those guys down in Mexico City ain't changed the way they've been doing business for the last 90 years. The same 300 families running that country, the same people exploiting the working people. They don't give a crap that they're coming over the border because there's no opportunity down there. There's no future down there for anybody. As long as the same 300 families hold on to power in Mexico, that's all they like. That's the way they dig. And I told you, the cops, the politicians, what a lot, man. You ought to put them all in the same barn and burn it. I said, how do you like to be a cop in Mexico? How do you hold your head up? What do you tell people you do for a living? Do you tell them you're a cop? What do you do when they're like dry heaving behind your back? And if you're a politician down in Mexico, if you're a representative of anybody or anything down there, do you tell people what you do for a living? Are you proud of it? You're a thief. You're on the take. You're taking kickbacks and payoffs from everybody, and you don't care what happens to your country. You're all a pack of traitors. And the broader issue is, it all becomes our problem, and you got your president up here telling our president how it's going to be? Like I said, we got our hands full right now, we're a little pissed off, and this is not the time to make matters worse. Believe me, we're all like Howard Dean, ready to go, if you bug us one more minute, one more inch, one more second, one more nanosecond. You saw what happened to Dean, that could be us, that could be Bush next. How'd you like that in the State of the Union address? He just stands there with his eyes bugged out, the tie loosened. He's got like a yoo-hoo and a cigarette going, and he just goes, this has been the President of the United States. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.